right. Well, we're going to be in 1 John chapter 4, so if you have a Bible with you, just go check that out for yourself. I don't know about most of you guys here. Me, I kind of grew up in church, and so grew up in Oklahoma. So, yeah, kind of. It gets really easy to kind of like just get used to singing those kinds of songs, you know, and just singing them and really kind of missing out on the meaning of it all and really missing out on what you're really saying, what you're really singing. You know, these words are really pretty profound. You know, amazing love, how can it be that you, my king, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. And so because of that, because it's true, so it's my joy to honor you. You know, man, how many times do we sing that song? I don't know about you. I've sang it a ton of times, right? But here's the thing. So many times when I've sung songs like that, you know, I mean, I just go through the motions and I'm just kind of, you know, amazing love, how can it be? You know what I mean? I'm doing my thing. And I mean, the thing is, I want to feel it. I want to feel the words. I want to feel the power, you know, that amazing love, how can it be? And I want to do it, okay? And I mean, sometimes you do it at like church camp, or you do it at church, or you do it wherever, you know, you get around with your college friends, and I mean, you see other people, and I mean, they look like they're into it, and they look like they get it, but for some reason, like in you, it's like, I don't know, I'm singing it, but I'm not really, I don't know, I don't quite get it. It's not quite clicking, you know? And so, I mean, at least for me, I was like, okay, well, maybe, you know, when I was younger, I was like, well, maybe it's just, I'm not closing my eyes. I mean, I know the words pretty well, right? I mean, I know it, I've heard it a bajillion times, so maybe that's all it is. Just, okay, so I'm going to close my eyes, you know, and then I'll start singing the song. And then I'm like, okay, well, maybe, you know, if I do this thing, and then that'll help me. So, you know, I got eyes closed because I already have the words memorized, and I have hands up, right? Because I think maybe that's going to help me out. And then maybe, you know, when everybody else is standing, maybe I need to sit, and then maybe that'll help me kind of get it. And okay, that doesn't work. And I mean, you get kind of to a point where you get frustrated because you sing and you sing and you sing about the love of God. I mean, I don't know how many times I've sung about it, but for some reason, I just don't get it. I mean, I just don't. I sing it, but man, it doesn't make sense. That amazing love, and I sing it, I say, I know it's true, but to be honest with you, a lot of times for me, I don't get the height and the breadth and the width and the depth of the love of God. I mean, that's just me, but hopefully maybe there's a few others out there like that, right? That we just don't get it. And I don't know about you, but man, it just wears me out. It just wears me out and it just frustrates me. I mean, because so many of us have done, and what I've done, and what I've realized that I've done is this, I've cheapened the love of God. I mean, man, I have done the greatest job of cheapening the love of God. And this is the kind of love that I see now from God. I see this kind of weak God who's just like, well, you know, I just love everybody. And so, you know, I love everybody. And if you want to come to me, then that's great. You know, I love you though. And, you know, I just love you guys. And I mean, that's kind of how I perceive God. This is God that's just giving out a generic kind of love. And if you want it, you can go for it. If you don't, it's no big deal. You're okay still. And you're kind of well liked. And you still got a lot of things going for you. And that's okay. I mean, that's the kind of things that are being sold to us today about what the love of God is. It's just this cheap kind of love that's just generic. It's just out there, and if you want it, you can take it. If you don't, hey, it's no big deal. You're still a pretty good person. And I mean, so many times, as much as I fight it, that's the love of God that I buy into. That's the love that somehow, some way, I've worked myself into thinking, yeah, that's what it is. And so I sing those songs, I sing that song, and I sing that song, and I never feel connected to it. I never feel like I really get the song. And you know why? It's because we've cheapened the love of God. We've cheapened the love of God to where we don't get it. You know, the kind of God and the kind of love that I want to boast in is this kind of love. And I've already kind of given it to you just a little bit, right? It's just this kind of love that is just passionate and it's reckless and it takes people and it rescues them. It goes after people. It says, I want you. I pursue you. I'm going to go get you. And so that kind of love goes. It grabs people who are sinners, people who are rebellious towards him. It goes and it grabs those people and it rescues them out of darkness and it brings them in to light. That's how Colossians puts it. It says it's this, that you've been transferred from this kingdom of darkness, and you've been brought to the side of the beloved Son. I mean, Colossians 1 talks about that. And that's the kind of love that I want to boast in. But the thing is this, that we can't boast in that kind of love because we don't get that kind of love. We don't understand that kind of love. Because all we've been sold our entire lives, a good majority of us, is just this generic, cheap love. This love that's pretty weak. This love that if you want it, it's there. If not, no big deal. But if you really read the Bible and if you really begin to study, you see God in a whole new light. And it's not a weak God. It's not a generic love. It's a reckless love. It's a passionate love. It's an intense love. It's a severe love. That's the love of God. And that's the kind of love I want to boast in. And what I'm doing is this. It's not boasting and saying, man, check me out because I got this kind of love. It's no, it's this. Check this out. This is love. I've been looking for it. I've been looking for it. And here it is. This is the real thing. Man, we've all been settling for this cheap imitation. We've all been settling for this thing that might make us feel good for a moment. We might get a real high from it for just a quick second. We might even have the warm fuzzies and start crying every now and then. But somehow, some way, that was just cheap. It wasn't the real deal. But this is it. This is the real deal. This is the love of God. And that's the love that I want to boast in. And so tonight when we sing songs like that, there's so many of us in this room that we can't connect with songs like that. And the reason we can't boast in songs like that, the reason we can't celebrate in songs like that, is because we don't understand that kind of love. And for the longest time, I was so frustrated with myself. I was so frustrated because I just wanted so much to be able to sing those songs and be able to sing them with all my heart and be able to sing them and fully appreciate them and to truly mean what I'm saying. And I was like, why can't I not? Why can't I? And the reason was this, is because I bought in to a cheap version of the love of God. And this semester, what I want us to do is this. I want us to remember, to see maybe for the first time, what the real love of God is. The reckless love of God is. That's what I want us to look at, okay? Tonight, I just want to talk to you about two things. Two things that maybe, you know, if we struggle with not boasting in the love of God, not getting the love of God, two things that we might not get about the love of God, okay? So it's going to be pretty simple. Don't want to, like, you know, don't worry. We're not going to be here forever. But just stick with me for these two things, okay? It's in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Here we go. In verse 9, it says this. So this whole book, you know, 1 John is a book notorious for love. It's talking about love all the way through it, okay? And it says, it's one of these books that says, if you love me, if you say you love me, then this is what happens. You know, it's just the whole book, love, 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 all the way through it. But then here's what he gets at right here in verse 8. Anyone who does not, verse 9, I'm sorry. I was like, verse 8, what am I talking? Verse 9. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Okay, one more time, I'm going to read verse 9. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Let's take that first, okay? In this is the love of God. I mean, basically it's saying, okay, here you go. This is a good example of the love of God. And what it says, it's not, you know, something that a lot of us haven't heard before. It's that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him, okay? And so in that, you're like, wow, man, that's pretty profound, right? Yeah. And here's what I've realized about a lot of us in here, and this goes for me too. The reason that we're not moved by that, the reason that we don't get that, is because we really think we're pretty lovable. I mean, we think we're lovable people. I mean, when we hear that in this is the love of God, that God made himself manifest in this way, that he sent his Son to do this, to die on a cross so that we might find life through him. And here's what we say. We may not say it out loud, because if you say it out loud, you look really weird. But in your head, you say this. You know, God really should do that for me. I mean, I'm a pretty lovable guy. I'm a pretty lovable girl. I'm pretty likable. Most people seem to get along with me. Yeah, God should do that for me. God should love me. I mean, look at me. Look at all the things that I do. Look at all the good things that I've stored up for myself. Of course God would love me. Of course God would want to send Jesus for me. I mean, why wouldn't he want to send Jesus for me? And so when we hear that verse, it really doesn't do anything for us, because we already believe in our head that God should love us. And we've convinced ourselves that, yeah, God, he should, because we are pretty lovable people. I mean, we talk about it all the time and we think about it and we're like, man, I'm a pretty lovable person. I mean, think about it. I come to Relevant every single week. I mean, come on, God, that's pretty lovable. I come here every single time, right? Not only that, but then whenever he starts talking about all these different ministry opportunities, I go to like half of them, okay? I mean, I'm batting 500. That's Hall of Fame right there in baseball. I mean, come on. I mean, God, don't you think maybe I'm pretty likable? I got some good things going for me. And, you know, I mean, then there's those old people that I see in my hometown, and it's my neighbors, and I mean, I take their trash out for them occasionally, and then sometimes, you know, if I'm a guy, then I'm really chivalrous, and I'll open the door for a girl. I mean, God, come on, I'm a pretty good person, right? And, you know, girls, you're like, well, you know, my roommate, you know, always talks bad about me, but I haven't said a word to her about it, or, you know, so, I mean, therefore, I'm a pretty good person, right? Because, you know, girls always have the cat fight out here. I don't know, actually, because I'm not a girl, but maybe not, though. Who knows? But, you know, everybody has their things, right? And so we get to this point where we say, yeah, I'm a pretty good person. I mean, I'm pretty good. And we won't say it out loud, but we really think that. We think, yeah, I'm pretty lovable. I'm pretty lovable. And so God, yeah, he did send Jesus to die on a cross for me. And yeah, through Jesus, we find life. But I mean, why wouldn't God do that? I mean, why wouldn't he? I mean, because I got things pretty well together. I'm pretty good. And then in my head, I think this, why do I think that? I mean, why do I think that? Why do we think that? And here's why I think. This is what I'm getting at here. It's basically this. That the reason we think we're so good is because we have such a diluted view of sin. We have such a diluted view of sin. I mean, most of us in this room, I don't know about you guys, but most of us in here are probably nothing more than hypothetical sinners. I mean, this is me included, all right? I am nothing more than a hypothetical sinner. And most of you in here, you're hypothetical sinners. What we do is this. This is the game that we play. We say, yeah, man, I get it. I've read Romans 3, and it talks about, you know, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I mean, that's absolutely right. I am a sinner, and I've missed the mark. You know, you hear that message about missing the mark. And so all we do is we say, yep, I get it. I'm a sinner. I've sinned. I've messed up. And we never move beyond that. All we do is we stay in the hypothetical. And we never really want to get serious about what our sin is. We never really want to confront our real sins. And all any of us are really comfortable doing is this, is being hypothetical sinners, people who all we do is acknowledge the possibility and maybe acknowledge the fact that we are sinners. But we never get down to the real details. We never get down to the real filth. Why? Because that'll begin to mess up our image of who we are. It'll begin to make us really realize that maybe we're not so good. That maybe all those good things that we do, even in those good things, we do it for bad motives. We do it for bad reasons. I mean, maybe it's that we come to this thing so that we can connect with other people and make sure that we look really Christian-y, right? And we don't want to do that. We don't want to look like that. We don't want to begin to really examine our lives. We don't want to move beyond the fact that, yeah, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and we leave it right there. And we never, ever, ever move beyond that. And we stay hypothetical sinners. And when we do that, here's what happens. We begin to have a hypothetical Savior. That's what happens. If you're a hypothetical sinner, then you have a hypothetical Savior. And reading a verse like that says, in this is love that God made manifest among all of us, that he sent his son to die on the cross so that through him we might have life. That's when that begins to mean absolutely nothing to us, because all we ever had in the first place was a hypothetical Savior. But when we begin to get our sin, when we begin to confront who we really are, when we begin to leave behind the diluted version of sin, and we begin to really see ourselves as we really are, what begins to happen is this. We see that we have big sin. We have big problems. And because of those things, we need a big Savior. We need a big rescue. And that's when verses like this, in this is love, that God has made manifest among us, that he sent Jesus so that we might live through him. And when we read a verse like that, we begin to boast in that love, because we get who we are. And we get this, that God loves unlovable people. God loves people that seem so unlovable. Because guys, we're not that lovable. As much as we convince ourselves, and as much as your mom and dad and your friends try to tell you that, no, it's not true. You're not that lovable, okay? I'm not that lovable. And really deep down inside, if we begin to confront our sin, we'll realize this, that we need a great, great rescue. And we need to experience the real love. We need to know the real love of God in Jesus Christ. And we begin to get the idea of a big Savior, because we have big sin. And you see, when we do that, we begin to boast in the love of God. But not only that, that's the first thing we get. But I want us to look at, continue on here, okay? Verse 10. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, here's the second thing I want us to understand is this, that the reason we don't really fully embrace the love of God, first off, is because we think we're pretty lovable. You know, and therefore, of course, God would love us. But not only that, but because we think, we kind of all think, yeah, we kind of love God. I love God, right? Yeah, I mean, I may not follow him all the time. I may not, you know, do everything he wants me to do all the time. I mean, I don't always do everything just right, okay? I'll give you that part, okay? Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm not that lovable. Maybe I'm not. Maybe even I got quite a few sins. I mean, I've really learned how to hide my sin well, don't get me wrong, but that's all I'm going to give you. But of course I love God. Of course I love God. And in this verse, this is what it says, in this is love, not that you or me or anybody else in this world, no matter how good you are, not any of us in here have loved God, but God has loved us. And there's this great idea going around in so many places, and you might be told this at your church, that yeah, you might kind of love God, or we even want to, or we say, okay, maybe we don't love God, but maybe people are just apathetic towards God, or maybe people are just indifferent towards God, or they're neutral, they're not really sure where they stand towards God. And guys, that's not the Bible. That's not the Bible. That's not what it says. There's no indifference towards God. We either love God because he has loved us, or we hate God and the things that he loves. It's one or the other. There's no in-between here, okay? And the thing we need to understand is this, is that in and of ourselves, our natural inclination is not to love God, but instead to love everything there is but God. Our natural inclination is to love this world and to love everything we can in this world and take everything we can out of this world and make sure we have it for ourselves. We make sure if somebody else has something we want, we try to go and we try to grab that from them and take it from them. We see that somebody has a group of friends that we want, so what do? We go, we try to kick that person out of the way and go grab those friends and bring them into our circle. We see that there's this job that we really want, so what we do is we try to do anything and everything, even if we have to lie on a resume or whatever we have to do, and we go grab that job and get it for ourselves. And we do everything we can to love this world. That's our natural inclination. It's to love this world. It's to love fame. It's to love popularity. It's to love success. It's to love friends. It's to love all these different things. We could go around the room and we could all talk about something in this world that we really, really love. And for me personally, over this break, one thing I had to realize was this, is that there's really two things in this world that I really, 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 really love. And these are two things I think a lot of people have. I love my own comfort. I love my own comfort. I was reading, I don't know if you guys have ever checked these out or not. There's this thing called Post Secrets, and one of the books, and there's this one that just struck me just right on. And it said this, or I don't know if it was in the first book or the second book, but it said this, all my friends think I want to change the world, but really I just want to live a comfortable life. And that's what it said. And that was a secret that somebody had just sent in to an anonymous person, and they were just saying, I got to get this off my chest. Everybody around me thinks that I'm going to be that person that changes the world, but really, I just want to live a comfortable life. And I read that, and I was like, whoa, wow. That's hitting way too close to home, because naturally, I really want comfort. Naturally, I like wearing nice clothes. I like being able to enjoy a good warm meal. I like my apartment. I like going to IKEA, right? You know, all those types of things. Those are good, right? Those are fun things. I really like my own comfort. And as much as I talk about changing the world, there's sometimes when I wish I could just be totally just like, you know what? It doesn't matter. I'm just going to get everything I can for myself, enjoy the comforts of this world. And that's one thing naturally that I love. And the second thing I naturally love is this, self-recognition. Self-recognition. I love it. I mean, just naturally, this is me, just being honest with you guys. Naturally, I love it when people love me. I love it when people notice me. I mean, I absolutely do. I can't get enough of it. On my own, in and of myself, that's something that I adore. I mean, I really do. I just love it when people say, man, Matt, I mean, wow, boy, he has really got things together. I mean, in and of myself, that's me, okay? And I'm like, yeah, all right, I'm doing this okay. All these people are kind of liking me. They're kind of thinking I got things together. That's great. Okay, I got to keep doing this, right? I'm doing great, keep it going. And because I love the self-recognition. I love the fact that people want to be around me. I love the fact that people like me. And that's just me in and of myself just being real with you guys, okay? And there's just two things that just keep gnawing at me and keep going, and they keep whispering in my ear saying, these are the things you pursue. These are the things you should pursue. These are the things you should love. Go love this. Go love this. Go love this. Go love comfort. I mean, just forget everything else and just go love comfort. Just go get everything you can for yourself. Don't worry about anybody else. Just go enjoy this world. I mean, and you can even try to theologize and say, you know, yeah, well, God made it all anyway. See, so you can just go enjoy it. God made IKEA kind of, so there you go. Go enjoy IKEA, right? And so, yeah, just go do that. And it's just kind of whispering in your ear. Go enjoy it. Go enjoy it. Go enjoy it. Go love it. Go love that thing. Go love that comfort. And then also in my ear, love, love, love self-recognition. Just go enjoy the fact that everybody likes you. Go enjoy the fact that everybody wants to go and just hear what all you got, because somebody else is going to just come up to you afterwards, right? And they're going to talk to you and say, wow, check out what you said, and you love that. Just go enjoy that. Go love that. Go make it your thing. Go make it your God. Go worship that. Go for that. Go pursue that with all that you are. And naturally, that's who I am. I'm a person that loves comfort and self-recognition. I do not naturally love God. And in this room, we can go around, and there's things that every single one of us in this room naturally really, really love. And naturally really value way, way more than God. Some of us really, really, really love our friends, but we almost love our friends to the point where it becomes our God. It becomes the thing that we love. And we do anything and everything to make sure that we have friends. You know, I mean, for guys, I know one thing is pornography and dealing with that. And it's just that thing that begins to consume and consume and consume you. And it says, nobody's watching. Nobody's watching. Just get on the computer. Nobody's watching you. It's okay. Nobody's watching. Go love this. For girls, I mean, I don't know, okay? Just being honest, don't know. But I'm sure there's something, right? I'm sure for each one of us in this room, there's something that's whispering in your ear saying, go love me. Go love this. Go pursue this. Go seek after this. You see, naturally, we don't love God. And in fact, we're not apathetic towards God. We're not indifferent towards God. But in fact, we hate the things of God. Who we are naturally are haters of God. We're people who hate the things that God loves. Man, in this is love. Not that we've loved God, but that God loves us. And he has loved us in this way, that he sent Jesus to be the propitiation for our sin. He sent Jesus, and Jesus comes, and what Jesus does is it's the wrath of God and all the wrath of God towards his people. And it's just all in this one big, giant punch, okay? And it's coming back, it's coming back, it's coming back, and it's the justice of God, the wrath of God coming towards his people. And here comes Jesus, and he just takes the blow. He just takes the blow, and he absorbs the full wrath of God. And in that, we find life. God's wrath towards sin and towards hate and towards rebellion, it's all right there in this punch, and all of a sudden, here comes Jesus, and he's the propitiation. He's the one who absorbs the blow for his people, for people that hate him and hate the things that he loves. And that is love. Guys, this semester, I hope you get it, that God is reckless in his love, that God is dangerous in his love. That God, he loves people that seem really unlovable, like you and me. And not only that, but that God demonstrates that in loving people that aren't just indifferent towards him, but instead really hate him. Really are haters towards God, right? Haters, yeah, I say it. You're a hater. So there you go. But that's where it's at. That's who you are. That's who I am. And so in that, we're able to boast, because that's the reckless, real love of God. And so this semester, that's what we're going to keep dealing with. That's what we're going to keep pursuing. That's what we're going to keep going to and just admiring and looking at from every angle we possibly can. Because, guys, there's so much that the love of God does. When we really begin to get the love of God, you know what happens is you begin to see yourself for who you really are. You're able to confront who you really are for the first time, because so many of us, we become so good at deceiving everybody else. We're so good at concealing who we really are. And for the first time, when we really get the love of God, we're able to admit and confront who we really are. But not only that, we're able to really confront our real fears. We're able to confront our dreams and what are we really seeking after. And all these things are all based around this one thing, the love of God. So many of you in this room, you have all kinds of questions. And every now and then you guys will send me an email saying, well, Matt, what about this? What about this? What about this? And I'm going to tell you this right now. One of the central ideas, one of the most powerful tenets in all the world is this, is that you understand the love of God. Because if you understand the love of God, I guarantee you, you will better understand yourself, you'll better understand this world, and you'll better understand your place in this world once you understand the reckless love of God. And so this semester, that's what we're going to be looking at, okay? But God loves you even though you're unlovable, and God loves you even though you hate the things of God naturally. Even though you love anything and everything but God naturally, God still loves you. And that is something worth rejoicing in, okay? That's something worth just being very thankful for and boasting in, all right? So here's how I want us to end tonight. We're going to end in song. Heather's going to come back up and play. And I ask you guys to sing, and to sing not just simply for the fact that we're supposed to, but do it rather to just be able to celebrate and to boast in this grand and crazy and amazing love that is the love of God.